Hello, and welcome to the Arts of Wood Voice podcast. My name is Tom, and I will be your host for the next 30 minutes. What's that you cry? Where's Flossie? Where's the Flossinator? Well, unfortunately, Flossie isn't here. I know, please don't audibly groan, because people will look at you strange if you're on a bus or wearing headphones, because they won't know what's going on. Obviously, if they did know what was going on, they would probably groan too, because Flossie is amazing. But she is missing in action and isn't able to attend today. So it is just me, but that doesn't mean the show is going to change in any way. We still have news, we still have the YNL watch, we will still have discussions about the things you've been posting online. Actually, I say discussions because it's only me here. It's not so much a discussion as me highlighting some of the fantastic posts that have been put up on Voice and then giving my opinions about them. I don't know if that counts as a discussion. Maybe it counts as a discussion. We can have a discussion about it in due course. Yes, as you can tell, this is going to be a very long 30 minutes for you, I'm afraid. No, I'm joking. It is going to be a really, really good show. And if you need any further evidence of that, then the interview we have with Festival of the Spoken Nerd will definitely sway your mind. Now, Festival of the Spoken Nerd are an incredible live act. They are nerdy comedians, basically. They bring science and comedy together in a show which just blows your mind for 90 minutes. I love them. I can't really go into too much detail because I will talk for 30 minutes about how much I love them, and that's just counterintuitive. But we have an interview with them. I urge you to listen. And then that's all that we have. That's the show. Like, this will fly by, I promise. Flossie not being here is not going to inhibit the show in any way. But if you do think that it has, then please do tweet us at Arts Award Voice. She would love to hear it. But I'm going to try my best to be Flossie for the news, which is coming up right now. Yes, it is indeed time for the news. Now, like I said, Flossie isn't here, which does mean I'm going to have to provide you the news headlines myself. I was going to try and do it in some kind of falsetto voice to try and mimic Flossie, but I figured if you have to listen to me for 30 minutes, then screeching in your ear near the beginning of the podcast is probably not the best way to keep you. So I'm going to read it in my normal voice, but that does not mean that the news is any less important. Obviously, if you want to read more about any of the news headlines we provide, you can go onto artsawardvoice.com, where they will all be written for you. So let's get started. Sue Townsend, author of the Adrian Mole books, has died, aged 68. Artwork by guerrilla artist Banksy causes controversy in Bristol. Guardian and Washington Post win the Pulitzer Prize for their coverage of the NSA surveillance. A once-in-a-lifetime exhibition of Henri Matisse has opened at the Tate Modern. And finally, Google invites you to a nighttime walk through the streets of Marseille. And that is your news with Arts Award Voice podcast. Moving away from arts news and entering into YNL Watch, I'm afraid to say at this time we don't have a lot of news to share. That's not to say that we aren't doing things, because I can promise you we have got a lot lined up, but the plans are at a stage where we don't feel ready to share them with you yet. Now, obviously, this podcast is meant to be the big place where news is announced and that kind of thing, but that doesn't mean you have to wait each month for us to tell you what's going on. Now, there are two ways that you can sort of keep up to date with what's going on within the YNL. You could follow us on Twitter, which is at Arts Award Voice, or you can go onto the website, which, as I'm sure we all know, is artsawardvoice.com. Those two places are going to provide you with more up-to-date and more frequent news of what we're doing, what's going on, little tidbits of gossip, little behind-the-scenes photos and that kind of thing. And this podcast sort of culminates all of that news into one big monthly broadcast. So yeah, unfortunately at this time we don't have any plans that we're ready to share, but that doesn't mean news isn't happening, things are happening. We've got a big residential next month where we all congregate together, we being the YNLs, and formulate plans for the year ahead. And I can guarantee you that this year is going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the YNL get up to this month. But yeah, we have nothing to share at this time. Check out artsawardvoice.com and at artsaward on Twitter so you can keep up to date with what is going on as and when we're ready to share. So what has been happening on Arts Award Voice this month? Now, the theme has been arts and health, and what we were looking for and what we can still have is discussions or posts or images or videos or audio files of you discussing how art influences or how art can affect your health or vice versa. So, do you have an illness that can impact your art, either positively or negatively? How do you use art, or how does art influence you when you're feeling low, for example, or down? Do you have any go-to fixes to try and cheer yourself up? And that kind of thing. So, if you have anything you want to say on that topic at all, then please do hop on to Arts Award Voice and post it. And we said this last time, and I fear that some people might have believed us to be disingenuous, but I promise you, we really, really enjoy reading what you have to post. It's fantastic stuff, it's great. And it kind of makes the job. And that sounds a really weird thing to say because, I have to write my own stuff, but I have actually really enjoy logging onto the website and seeing that new stuff has been posted, and it's young people like you who are just posting things and telling us what you think, because young people need to be able to voice their opinions. And I'm really proud to say that Voice is somewhere where young people feel that they can do that. So that's really great. On the subject of sharing things, Voice has a new viral video out. Now, you may have seen some of our viral videos in the past, but this time it's about dance. And I'm not going to say much about it because it is quite a short video, but we would really appreciate it if you went onto the website and watched it, gave it the thumbs up. It's YouTube, obviously, so you can do that. Or you could post it onto Facebook or Twitter, or just send it round so that your friends kind of see it, because voice needs to grow. Like everything, voice needs to grow, and we would love for you to grow with voice. So yeah, by sending that video around, you're doing a little thing to help Voice sort of continue its mission to help spread arts to young people. That's all I'm going to say on the matter, and I'm actually now going to talk about what has been posted on the website. Now, the first one comes from one of our own YNLs, and that is Alice. Now, I love Alice. She's a knitting fanatic, but she's also a dancer, and she has posted something about whether or not dance should be categorised as an art or a sport. What she wrote on the website was a really articulate piece about her views on dance, and she concludes by, and I will quote because I think it really sort of summarises her argument beautifully, "I think I will have to say that dance is able to crowbar itself comfortably into both sport and art arguments. It is a unique activity that can keep you fit, on your toes, and inquisitive to learn new things about yourself." Now, I think personally that very much sounds like art to me, and I often view dance as art because I think a dance is all about invoking an emotion and almost telling a story, and I don't think that's the same with sport. Now, don't get me wrong, I think sport is a very emotional thing. Let's say, for example, if you're watching Chelsea at the Championship League final and they scuff it up due to penalties, then you feel an emotion inside. It should be sadness, but I know a lot of people cheer when that happened. But yeah, I don't think sport brings an emotion the same way that dance does. Dance's role almost is about expression and invoking emotions, whereas sport is more to win, and I think that's a lot more competitive. But at the same time, dance is a sport. It is a sport. There is competitive dancing, and you have to keep yourself so physically fit to be a dancer, like a professional dancer. You need to be really at the top of your game. So in that respect, I can appreciate that it is a sport as well. Not many people know this, but many, many years ago now, when I was choosing my GCSEs, I did actually consider doing dance. I mean, I wrote it down as a reserve. That is how close it came to being an option. In the end, I think I chose business studies over it. I know, like a complete tangent, but I used to love dance personally. I thought that it was a fantastic outlet, and I could do it indoors as well, which was such a win over playing rugby in the rain, and cricket actually. But yeah, dance to me was all about spending 100 minutes just doing something, and nobody judged you. You weren't looked upon as either being too fast or too slow. It was about being able to express And that sounds really weak, but at the same time, I think at the time it was a really great outlet for a lot of stress that I had. Obviously, I'd just sort of had my first year in upper school and I was having to choose options, and I'd started working for myself, and there was a lot going on, and dance was just this way of forgetting about that for a while, and I thought that was great. Obviously, in the end, I didn't choose it. I can't imagine how different my life would have been if I had. But I suppose what I'm trying to say is that I think Alice is correct in saying that dance can be considered both an art and a sport. To use the term again, crowbar itself nicely into an argument, I think that is completely correct. But I do still veer towards the side of it being more art-based than sport-based. Now, obviously, I welcome any comments that you have on that topic, and I'm sure Alice would as well. So, actually, if you do want to share something with us, you can tweet us at Arts Award Voice, obviously. But if you go onto the website, then there will be a link to her article, and I think it would be really great if you could go onto that article and sort of post your comments. What do you think? Are you a dancer? Are you a sport player? Whatever that might be or mean. Do you think that dance can fit in one category or the other? Do you think it fits in both, or should it be considered both? I don't know. And I suppose that's really up for discussion. And if Flossie was here, I'm sure she would have a lot to say on the matter. I don't know if she dances. Maybe she dances. She strikes me as somebody who could be a dancer. I don't know. Maybe I will definitely even. I will ask her on the next podcast and we will find out for definite whether or not the Flossinator is a dancer. But yeah, that is my views on this article. And we will now quickly move on to the next. The next post, and the last post you might be silently cheering about, is a post by Emmy Palmer, and it is photoshopping right in the modelling world? Now, this is a question that has come up previously in prior episodes of the podcast, and it is asked a lot on the website. And I don't think that is a bad thing, personally. I think that it is obviously that people realise there is something wrong with what the fashion industry is doing and believe that their ethics are questionable. And I think that's perfectly correct to assume that, because they really are. I think what the fashion industry do is abhorrent, personally, by almost manipulating women or exploiting women into believing this false ideal, and exploiting men. And they sell this image of what a woman should look like, and it's so unobtainable and so unrealistic to an actual woman that it's just so demoralizing, I think. It's like, okay, I have a sister and she's quite young, and I've been quite lucky in the fact that she's not been particularly influenced by the media and all of these skinny women who run around and saying that nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. Was that Kate Moss? I think Flossie said it was previously. But yeah, I've been quite lucky in the sense that she's not been particularly influenced by that. But when I was at upper school, in sick form even, I could walk around the school and I would hear these year nines talking about how they felt fat and how they needed to go on a diet, and had you seen this woman or that woman, and how thin they were, and discussing all of this diet stuff. And it's like, you're 13 years old, this is ridiculous. I don't believe personally you need to go on a diet at 13 years old. I question whether or not you need to go on a diet at 30 years old, as long as you're kind of living a relatively balanced life and you are healthy. There's no need to go on a diet. I think you need to take a step back from this idea that the industry has almost brainwashed us with, that a rake with a wig and some makeup who's been touched up by Photoshop is what a woman should look like. Now, I'm not trying to have a go at thin women. Naturally, thin women are beautiful. Women who aren't naturally thin are beautiful. It's really difficult to try and articulate what I'm trying to say without almost like treading on a mine, because it's such a minefield out there nowadays. But what I'm trying to say is that women who have starved themselves in the pursuit of beauty, in air quotes, are in real need of a hug and a Twix, because I think there is something really unattractive about like starving yourself. I can't, like, if I was to look at a woman and she was ridiculously thin as a result of extreme dieting, she could be really attractive, but I would not be able to see past the fact that she is almost unable to help the fact that she needs to like diet. And that doesn't make sense. But what I'm trying to say is that people who are dieting to extreme measures in the pursuit of beauty are almost defeating their objective for me. And I wish it was the case that more men would view it like that. And I wish more women would be able to realise that, because there is, like, I think the human body, and I'm going to get a little bit philosophical here, the human body is the best gift that you will be given in life. It's the only one you'll ever get. It's pretty rare, and you need to look after it. Now, that doesn't mean not taking care of it in terms of like ensuring you don't fill it with toxins and poisons and are 30 stone, for example. But at the same time, you're doing yourself no favours and are similarly putting your health at risk by being 5 stone and a size 0. To me, that's my personal opinion on the matter anyway. I think women need to be more comfortable by saying, yes, I'm a size 14, I'm a size 16. There's nothing wrong with that, personally. And yeah, I would love for there to be more discussion about how the media and how the fashion world and how the modelling world are pushing this almost alien idea of what a woman should look like. So you've got thin, naturally thin women who starve themselves, then get done up in makeup, and then have that makeup and their body photoshopped so they look even thinner and even less flawed. That is just insane, personally. And it worries me that this could become the norm or the expectation of women in society. It shouldn't be. I think that there needs to be a real serious discussion about how the industry works. And I think that what Amy Palmer has done here and what other posters on Voice have done is fantastic and definitely the right way to go. We need to continue to reinforce and challenge the ideals that are being presented. And go, no, we do not believe this to be right. We believe that a woman can be beautiful off her own merits and off her own body, instead of starving that body to try and please somebody else. Yeah, and sorry, I just dropped my notebook because I was getting all passionate and waving my arms around, because this is a really serious topic. People die because of ideas that are presented by the media. Yes. Sorry, I realised that this has been a completely unbiased conversation, and Flossie really probably would have stopped me from flailing my arms around, dropping my notebook, and would pull me gently off of my soapbox. So I'm going to end this conversation here, because I think I've said really all I need to in a particularly inarticulate way, but passionate. I'm really passionate about this. So please, if you have any opinions on this, do post it on Voice, do tweet about it, do blog about it, and let's continue to push this idea out that the fashion industry is not correct in what it believes a woman should look like. A woman should look like a woman, and that's the end of the matter for me. So post about it on Voice, post about it on your own blog, tweet about it, tweet us about it at Arts Award Voice. Let's continue to push that message out there. And now I'm graciously stepping off of my soapbox. You can publicly cheer about that if you like. Now, if you weren't cheering about me getting off my soapbox, then I thank you. You're particularly polite. I'm sure secretly everybody who was listening to this podcast was sighing with relief at the fact that I had finally stopped talking. But I'm going to very quickly just introduce the interview with Festival of the Spoken Nerd. Now, this is something you should be cheering for, and I actually advocate cheering out loud at the fact that you get to listen to an interview with Festival of the Spoken Nerd. I love these guys. They are so funny, and the things they have to say are hugely interesting and I think helpful to anybody who kind of wants to start in a career of live performing. So yeah, actually, I'm just going to say this is Festival of the Spoken Nerd. Their interview is fantastic. The whole thing can be found on iTunes via at no, sorry, via Tom and his interviews. And I do believe I wrote up an interview summary on Voice as well. But obviously, links will be in the podcast announcement page for this podcast. So here is Festival of the Spoken Nerd. I really hope you enjoy, and I will see you on the other side.
Do you want to introduce yourselves individually?
Yes,
seamless.
I'm Steve Moles.
Let's introduce ourselves what? All at the same time.
All right, simultaneously.
Yeah, no, okay,
moving on. Well, I've already said my one.
That counts as an introduction.
Yeah.
That was perfect.
So what's your story? I'm Steve Moles. Well, I cleared that up. I'm Matt Parker. I do maths.
Oh, I see. We're going into detail.
Yeah, I didn't want to do too much detail. I wasn't.
All right. And well, I'm doing some experiments.
Yeah.
Hello, okay. I'm Helen Arnie. I'm a geek songstress, and I keep these two under control on the tour.
Under control.
Fair. Yeah.
That seems fair. Sort of cracking the whip.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, I think this is an important part of who we are.
This is what touring is like.
It is. We have to spend 2 months basically in the same place all the time, working together.
With the same people. Yeah.
And we all have slightly different attitudes to certain parts of our lives, and everything comes into relief when you have to spend this much time with each other. It's been a really long process. Some of the material that's ended up in this show we have written less than a month ago.
Okay.
Some of it we wrote about 2.5 years ago. So we don't sit down and go, right, let's do a show. We start collecting things that
we go, right, what have we already written?
It's what things fit together. So I guess it's like it's more of a kind of collector attitude to it. We don't sit down and write a show. We go, what is interesting right now? What is obsessing us right now?
So John Conway's Game of Life is a cellular automata. It's a board game based on, Matt says, two very simple rules. I would say it's more like four, but... Depends how you look at it. But anyway,
you'd like to simplify things.
If you have an arrangement of squares like this sort of pixelated heart here, it forms a glider that travels down the screen. It's beautiful. Matt goes into a lot more detail about John Conway's Game of Life.
If, like, somebody wanted to go on tour, what sort of steps and processes would they need to go through?
Oh, gosh. Well, you have to do, for us,
like
we have to do loads of little gigs.
Yeah.
And those gigs built up until
got bigger venues.
Until a tour managing company was interested in us, basically.
We went and did Edinburgh as well.
Yeah, that's it. You got build up, do Edinburgh.
There are several different reasons. I think we got picked up. Our tour manager, he's the same tour manager who toured Brian Cox and Robin Ince in a show I was in as well called Uncaged Monkeys. So they are already a tour company who had experience of doing comedy science shows.
Yeah.
So we knew they would like our stuff, and we'd already met them on this tour thing. So it was that very natural thing. We found some people who completely got it. And they're doing all of the kind of grunt work for us. So it's really kind of finding that everything becomes easier if you find that relationship, if you find those people who work the same way as you, who like the same stuff as you, who you trust and can do this for you. And finding that is kind of worth waiting for. It's worth waiting for that. We waited a long while before we started trying to do gigs outside London.
To get practice, because you want to go straight into touring, you want to start with a small, because our first place took 30 people when we started it, and then we gradually. Because then you've got to scale it up. It does scale exponentially, though, so it's not so bad.
Well, yeah, we're seeing it at 500.
So it's
venues
exactly
now.
Yeah.
So because linear would take us forever.
Yeah.
So we went 30 to 50-ish doing small gigs. Then we went 100-ish.
Well, no, but the key was we were selling out about 3 months in advance. We got to the power.
Yeah.
We discovered the power of a sellout. As soon as you sell out a show, even if it only has 30 seats, suddenly everyone is desperate to
book in advance.
Yeah. So we were always playing venues that were a little bit too small, And we could have technically been playing bigger venues, but we kept it really small because it was about creating the right atmosphere.
The buzz.
And I think that was so not just for like, oh, let's hope someone picks us up and takes us on tour, but actually they were lovelier shows for us. Mm. They were more enjoyable for us.
Audience
enjoy them more, they give us better kind of feedback, and we know whether things work or not because we've got this lovely audience in front of us who are just bursting at the seams and really excited to be there. So that helped develop the show, and it was at the point where it just literally, we just couldn't physically sell enough tickets. We moved to a bigger venue.
So we did Bloomsbury for the first time 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's our second anniversary.
Yeah.
Mm. Happy birthday to... Or is that the... Is that second... That means that the first gig we did was our zeroth.
Yeah.
Well, when you're born, you're born zero, right? And you don't get one until you're the second birthday.
Okay.
It's the first show, isn't it? I mean, you say it's the. I mean, first means that's what first means. Like it's the first one.
So first birthday
is one. Oh no,
your first birthday.
But it's not your birthday.
It's not the first time you're alive on that day in the year. Yeah,
that's your birthday.
I made an unusually large pentagon, and it may not fit on stage.
But not.
Well, actually, I say pentagon. It's a pentagonal prism.
Yeah.
Yes, obviously.
Like,
get it right.
It's a pentagonal prism. It looks like a hot tub, but it actually blows massive smoke rings. But you'll discover about that.
Did you make that by hand?
Yeah, he did. He made it all himself.
Down pipes.
I did the decoration, which is he has.
I was very utilitarian. Is that how you politely phrase it?
Boring was the word.
Yeah. Okay.
See,
I'm utilitarian.
Boring.
And efficient.
Matt.
Oh, sorry.
God. Yes, that's www.festivalofthespokennerd.com.
The blur is silent.
The blur is silent.
In fact, the www is silent.
It's also silent, yes. You don't need it anymore. I don't know why I said it. Festivalofthespokennerd.com. You can follow them on Twitter, which is at FOTSN.
Yes.
I like the fact you're spelling out every single letter, just not saying the rest of them in between.
Like, I can't remember it. And then they're also individually on Twitter as well, which
I'm at Helenani.
Stand Up Maths.
Mould S.
Thank you very much, Festival of Spoken Nerd.
Thank you.
I wish you all the best on your tour as well.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Hello again, that was Festival of the Spoken Nerd. I hope you enjoyed that interview. I love them. They are so much fun. I apologise for the knocking that occasionally happened through that interview, but they were actually making a coffee with an AeroPress. It was Matt's little purchase that he was particularly proud of, and they were making coffee for me during the interview. It makes one cup of coffee at a time, so practically it's not the best purchase, but the coffee it makes was really sublime. Anyway, Festival of the Spoken Nerd, I love them. If you ever get the chance to see them, do go and see them. But I'm afraid we are coming up to the end of the podcast. It's been a weird one. I really am sorry that Flossie wasn't here to do it. I know that the dynamic has somewhat changed, and by dynamic I mean you've had 30 minutes of me ranting at you. But just to sort of cover what we have spoken about, we've had the news, we then discussed why there was no YNL watch, but do keep your eyes open because there are some big things in the works. We then had discussions on the Voice Viral, whether or not dance is an art or a sport, and then an article which was posted by Emmy Palmer about photoshopping. I apologise if you think that that was a bit too rambly, but it really does bug me that that sort of practice does still exist. We then had the fantastic interview with the Festival of the Spoken Nerd, and now all there is really left to say is if you enjoyed this podcast, then do go onto iTunes, and if you use it, give us a 5-star rating and a really nice comment saying, love the podcast, you guys are great, moi, or something like that. Or if you want some more direct feedback, then you can tweet us at Arts Award Voice or go onto the website, which is artsawardvoice.com. Now, for the remainder of this month of April, it is Arts and Health, so if you do have anything you want to post on that topic, then hop online and do so. But don't forget that next month, which is the month after April, mine's gone blank, May, the month of May is magazine month, so do have a think about what you'd quite like to see on the website or what you'd like to put on the website, and tweet us if you have any thoughts on the matter whatsoever. So I guess the last thing to do is really just tell you about the song which I'm going to play. It's a tune called Happy Chip Tune, and I found it on Pond 5. I think the artist is pronounced Sonia, but I'm not sure. And where I originally found it was on a YouTube channel. Now, this YouTuber is part of the Yogscast. I don't know if anybody knows what the Yogscast is. If you do, tweet in, because I simply love the Yogscast. I think the content they produce is amazing. But this YouTuber, he's part of the Yogscast, he's called Sips. And every time I watch one of his videos, he would end it in this song. And it's just so upbeat. It's so happy. I love it. I think it's a fantastic way to end any kind of show or podcast. And when he played it, me and my girlfriend were just simultaneously fists in the air because it's so cool. So I thought I would play it for you. You can find it on Pond 5, like I just said. It's mostly royalty free. It has a one-time payment, like most things in life. But yeah, otherwise you're completely free to use it however you want. So yeah, really, this is it. This is goodbye for another month. I've been Tom, lead sub-editor for Arts Award Voice and the host for the Arts Award Voice podcast. Unfortunately, Flossie couldn't be here and she apologises for that. I'm fairly sure she'll be back next month. If you all tweet us at Arts Award Voice and tell her she needs to come back on the show because Tom is megalomaniac, he's ranting about anything, then I'm sure she would be more than happy to rejoin the ranks. Yeah, thank you for listening. Please do give us a good rating on iTunes. It means the world. It helps us out so much. And from all of us at Arts Award Voice, have the very, very best of months, and we'll see you again next time. Bye!